Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer and comedian, Emily Winter. If you like this podcast, which I very much hope you do, you can support it by buying my book, One Day Smarter. It's a trivia book. It's fun. It's great for the holidays. You could also support it by Venmoing me directly, because I do everything myself. My Venmo is Emily-Winter, and I love little bits of money coming in, or big bits. Love big bits, you know, with little ghost emoji. Oh, man, that warms my heart. So, yeah, I hope you love this episode as much as I do. I'm kind of freaking out about it, and just I hope you're great. Okay, I hope you're just really enjoying this spooky season. It's wonderful. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Mike Salona. Mike, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. And you were just saying before we started recording, we knew each other from stand up in New York, and we haven't seen each other since maybe like 2017 at a comedy club. So good to see you again.
Yeah. The last time I saw you, you were unwed and in New York.
unwed and in New York. The crazy.
You're one of the rare people that flourished during COVID. It's awesome to see.
Oh my gosh. If that is what it looks like, then I'm doing a better job at social media than I am in my life. Nobody's fine. Everybody's freaking out about something. So tell me, does your story, so you're calling from New Jersey right now, and is that where your story takes place?
No. So we were just talking briefly, like I'm huge into like supernatural Halloween. So besides being a comic, I am a writer, producer, editor for different television networks. I've done a lot of like horror stuff. Like I used to work at FearNet. When I worked for right now I work for Lifetime as well. And like I do a lot of their horror content. Like I love the idea of this stuff. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and this is where the story comes in place. But when I first, you know, graduated college, like I moved to Philly and I really wanted to do like the haunted tours. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get that as a gig, and I couldn't even go on them because they were too expensive. So what I started to do was I would follow them and then see the places they hit. Like here's a haunted cemetery in Center City, Philadelphia. And then I would go home and research them. And then I started doing my own tours for my friends.
That's amazing.
But I'm going to say with full transparency, I am 38 years old. I am afraid of the dark still. I sleep, with a nightlight next to my bed. Like I have two young boys, two kids. And when they're like, oh, my God, there's like they have nightlights and I'm like, yeah, I get it, man. Like they'll be like, come up. I see something. I'm like, no, like I send mommy. Like I'm definitely.
How does mommy feel about you sleeping with the nightlight? This is my question.
Oh my God. If it were
for me, I would have full lights on every night. I love sleeping with the lights on. Makes me feel like there's a blanket around me because I am also so afraid. And I always watch scary stuff before bed.
It's a love hate. My wife is one of those people where like she'll put like tape over the record button, like when we had like a DVD player or something, or like an alarm clock. Like it has to be hidden in a way that it doesn't illuminate the room.
Okay.
So, you know, it's something that will probably get divorced over in 10 years. Who knows? But my story starts in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pennsylvania in the Lehigh Valley, which is there's a lot of history there with like the steel factories. Like Billy Joel wrote a song about Allentown. What a lot of people don't know, like, you know, 20 minutes up north is a place called the Coal Region. And that's even like more haunting. And if you look up like the coal region now, it's a big coal town, but you know, unfortunately for a lot of people that work there, coal is no longer a thing.
Right.
Donald Trump almost brought it back, but you know,
there's all these like depressed, like there's like a legacy. There's all these families that for generations were working in coal, and now, you know, I mean, it's good for the world that it's gone, but it's bad for these families that like their legacy has basically disappeared.
And what a lot of people don't know is there's a town in the coal region called Centralia, which is still under, it's on fire.
What?
So all these coal mines, this coal mine back in the day caught fire.
Okay.
And it's called Centralia with a C. I don't know why I said that, because my last name's Salona with a C. Anyway, so they base movies on this. Like, I think Silent Hill was a horror movie that came out a couple of years ago. So literally, like, the area I grew up in, people would come and the town's abandoned, minus like one or two houses of like old people who refuse to sell. But under the ground is on fire. And the like near the potholes or like sewers or whatever, there's smoke just actively coming up.
That's terrifying. Like,
it's terrifying. So it it's just an eerie place. Before I get into this ghost story.
Oh my God.
Wait, yeah.
Sorry, one question. Has anyone, this is a dumb question, but has anyone like sent the fire department down there? Like, can it be put out? Like, or is this just not a priority?
No. So it can't be put out because it's underground and it's a coal mine that goes on for down like miles. And the thing with coal is, like anyone that's ever cooked charcoal, like it has to like run its course. Like you could pour it out, but it still will hold that heat. And then it just comes back. It got too big. And it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, it's just burning underground. It sounds absurd when you say it out loud. Oh. Like there should be a solution.
It's insane. Like I can't believe every time I think that like the world has gotten as crazy as it can get. Okay. It takes it one step farther.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're ever on the East Coast, if you're making a day trip to Pennsylvania, you got to hit up Centralia. Because, yeah, I think Silent Hill was the movie. They made a couple movies about it, about horror movies, or it was a horror movie. But so my story takes place in a town in that area between the Lehigh Valley and like the coal region. And it's called Jim Thorpe, okay. Who was a Native American, I think, triathlete.
Whoa.
Yeah, so he was a Native American, and he did the Olympics barefoot or something.
Cool.
Which is weird that the whole town is named after him, because the town is oddly racist. Like, it's like, there's literally a documentary on Netflix called, like, Shenandoah, which is one of the towns where they killed a guy for being Mexican. In like, 2010.
What?
This so like
horrible.
Yeah, so I went
laugh. To it's just like ironic, and it's
no
like,
it's insane.
Like, just so I honor went, at least honor the namesake of a town by like not yeah. being racist. Yeah,
yeah. So I went to college around there, a little bit north, Bloomsburg University, and you know, a lot of my roommates that I met were from this coal region, and they would be like, look, when we go out, like, you're Italian and Mexican, but just tell people you're Italian.
Well,
like they were like, you know, you're a jokey guy, but seriously, don't mess around. So this is the type of people that this ghost story involves.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I graduated high school or college, I graduated with a degree in television and film. And one of my first jobs was an intern. So an intern is just unpaid labor. And I worked at a local news station. It was called Blue Ridge TV 13, and it was news in the coal region. So like, it's not normal news. Like, it would be like the Boy Scouts are having an event here, or a different coal mine museum is open. And the museum is literally, you go into like that old elevator shaft and go down. And then you go back up, because that's, yeah, a lot of coal shafts, like you would go down like a quarter mile, and then it's just like almost like an anthill just everywhere. So that was like a big attraction. Wow. So the news was.
Were allowed to like walk around or just stay in the elevator and then go back up?
So it would be like a guided tour, but yeah. I'm sure people would kind of go off the rails. But the news there was not like big news. It was like the one story I covered was someone turned 100.
I love it.
So like I went to a nursing home. That's not the ghost story. She was alive. But so I was still an intern, which means I was partnered with a cameraman who would go out with a reporter, where it's like, we're live here, but the stories were always kind of like meek and few and far between. So like during the day, they'd be like, all right, Mike, call the cops and see if they have any good stories. So then, you know, there was like a day or two where we had nothing going on. And ironic, funny enough, there's just a fun thing. The cameraman that I was working with, his name was Bob Ross.
Love it.
But he wasn't the Bob Ross.
It would be amazing if it was. But we'll take the
Bob Ross. But he was a lot older, and like he was that guy who's been with the company forever. So like he wasn't really amazed by things anymore. Like he was really good at his job, and I'm happy that I got, he showed me a lot of stuff like when I was starting out, but like nothing really impressed him or frazzled him, or like, you know, he's been doing it forever in this small town. So then he's like, all right, we're going to do a story on this place called the Mock Chunk Theater. So the Mock Chunk Theater, Mock Chunk is the town that then went on to be called Jim Thorpe, that I was saying, in this coal region area. So Jim Thorpe was the Native American that did great in the Olympics. They named the town, but originally the town was called Mock Chunk. It's the weirdest name. It's very, what, like I grew up in a, like everything's very Native American. Okay. So like I went to Catasauqua High School next to Tamaqua and Hakandaqua. Like I lived off Lenape Drive. So like it's very Native American-y, but everyone there is like white with like one tooth. Like it doesn't make sense.
Oh, no. Beautiful, so, Native American names and not enough teeth to say them properly. Yeah.
Yeah, like it was small town PA where celebrated.
Mock Chunk is not a beautiful. So sorry, I'm not into that as a name. But
no,
yeah.
It's like, oh my, like it sounds like a weird thing. The doctor would be like, you got mock chunks coming out. Like you got to really take some medicine.
It sounds oddly like.
Yeah. Oh man, I found some mock chunks in my belly, but it sounds like German, doesn't it? It's like, oh, we're gonna have mock chunks for dinner. Okay, sure.
Maybe that's why I feel like I can make fun of it as a German. Okay.
So we were going to this historical theater, and I'm like, all right, cool. So like I was interning, so really what I would do is, you know, I would carry his equipment and set it up. And then he would be like, all right, good, but maybe next time try like this, or, you know, and then he would kind of run the show. And then at the end, he would hand me the camera and be like, go get some shots. So when they do the news story, they can cover it. And then he would watch it back and be like, all right, these are good. You're doing good. And then eventually, like a month later, I was my own cameraman there. But, you know, you're starting out as an unpaid intern. So we go to this theater, and it was because there's no news up there. So they're like, all right, we're just going to do a piece on the theater, and they have some shows coming up. Mm-hmm. So I'm just standing there. They're like, all right, we're rolling 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 action. And the guy starts doing the story. Like, we're here with so-and-so, the manager of the theater. This weekend they have, you know, a local production. It was more just to promote it, to get people out. Mm-hmm. And the cameraman's like, hang on. Like, he's like, we need to stop. And he goes to the manager. He's like, something's behind the curtain. Whoever's moving the curtain, can you just tell them to stop? Like one of the workers. And the guy is like, he just goes like white, the manager.
Oh.
And we're like, what? So then, you know, we don't think anything of it. So we're like, all right, let's roll one more time. Let's just try to get it.
Did he say, and, like, no one's here? Did he say he was just like, I think it's okay?
No, so he was just like, oh, okay, yeah, let's just, I'll tell him, or, like, we should be good. Let's just do another take. And so then we tried it again. It's like, all right, let's go. Like, they come back, they do a setup. It's like, hi, I'm so-and-so from TV13 News. We're here. And the guy, you could tell now the cameraman who's like, I don't want to say he's like a disgruntled older dude who's been working there, but like he was a no nonsense guy. So literally it was the big over the shoulder news cameras. So he's like, guys, seriously, like we can't even use this. He's like, whose kid is that? Oh. And it's like, wait, what? So then when he said, whose kid is that? The guy's face dropped. Even like, it was like, he goes, let's shoot it in front of the theater instead of inside the theater. So we're like, all right, but we still didn't
want to tell you guys. He doesn't want to tell you.
No one was saying anything. So we're, you know, like, I've worked in TV long enough now to know that, like, you know, sometimes you're trying to get a shot and it doesn't work. It's like, all right, let's just do this other thing. And there's no real, like, everyone's just direct. So you just have to be like, all right, this isn't working. Let's go out here. But it seemed odd, like, just go talk to the person, or if it's a little kid. So then we go out front and we do it without a hitch. It's like, hey, we're here. We do blah, blah, blah. And then as I'm packing up the car, the main cameraman is like walking back. He smoked cigarettes. I think he was smoking cigarettes as I was like loading his gear. And he goes, dude, I just talked to the manager and he said the place is haunted.
Yes.
But I didn't even like, I still didn't put two and two together. I'm like, okay. I'm like, sure. This is in the middle of the day. It was like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It wasn't the it was like morning. It was bright. But it is eerie to be at a theater like when no one's there, but still I didn't think of it. So then, he's like, the guy said that, I don't know the backstory of it, but there is, if you're ever in Pennsylvania, a lot of times there's like books at gas stations and it'll be like ghost stories or hauntings of a particular town. Mm-hmm. And you can buy them. And so I'll have to look at it because I did buy the book after I found this out. But apparently there was a little kid. I don't know if he passed away there or there was a fire or something. There's a little kid that is known to like haunt it and like move the curtains or whatever.
Oh, my
and
God.
Anytime I tell this story, like, I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I could easily, like, you know, I'm a comic, so I can embellish a story. But this guy is like the guy that like was so the cameraman is a no nonsense dude, no thrills, no like. And he was like, oh, my God, he's like, this is insane. Like he was so almost frazzled by it. And then the manager was talking to us and he's like, yeah, like he goes, it's weird because not a lot of people get to see it. And like we go about business, but like for some reason this. Like, he's like, it's not like something like the manager was saying, like, you can't be like, hey, little kid, like, come out. And he comes out and it doesn't happen regular. He was like, it really doesn't happen often. He goes, I remember him saying, because it's like 2007 or eight. Mm-hmm. He's like, I remember like the curtain moving or whatever. But like the fact that the cameraman saw like a little kid messing around behind there
like,
is insane.
Kid. Yeah. Did you guys watch the tape back?
So yeah, that's what's weird. Like on the tape, it was fine.
What?
But it looked like I didn't see a kid, but like you could see like the curtain. It's weird because it was standard. It was before high definition. So it's standard definition. So anything like with like curtains, if you look at like the old late night shows or whatever, mm-hmm. like it's always kind of wavy. Mm-hmm. Because it can't really get the true definition it. So anything with a pattern or lines or like curtains, because they all have that like the way they lay, it's like wavy. So it kind of, if you ever look at something like that, it's always kind of jittery like that.
Okay.
So like on camera, yeah, you could look at it now and be like, oh my God, something's moving. But like I remember we went right into the edit room and it was back when it was, you would edit analog and he'd be like to rewind and we were just sitting there in the dark like looking at it like, oh my God, what is this. And it was just odd that the manager was so cool about it until like telling us. He was like, the weird part is like it, no one has ever really seen it besides like he would be there alone sometimes and like he would hear something. And he heard a story about it, but he was like, it's just stupid. Like, it's an old theater. Like, it makes noises. But for the guy, the cameraman, to be like, hey, someone's messing around back there. Or can you tell someone so to not do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's wild is the town is called Jim Thorpe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big history of the Molly Maguires, which is like one of the original Irish gangs that came when America was like being settled. And like, there's a prison there because there's a lot of like old gang wars and like war crimes and stuff. And there's a prison there a block away from the Mock Chunk Theater that in one of the jail cells has a bloody handprint.
Whoa.
That has been there for hundreds of years and it's never faded.
That's so terrifying.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, like now, you know, back when I was growing up, it was like an old drinking town. It was very depressed. There was a lot of drugs. It lost a lot of money because, you know, the coal region and the steel industry kind of crumbled. But now it's become like a destination. Like a lot of my friends in New York are like, oh, dude, I'm going to Jim Thorpe. Ever hear of it? And I'm like, oh, my God, I grew up right there. I was like, don't go there. Like, you'll get shot. Everyone drinks and drives. But then they go and there's now a Harry Potter like coffee shop.
Oh my God. So it's totally like gentrifying.
Yeah. And they also have a historical railroad that now they do like haunted, not like a hayride, but like a train ride. They do like fall rides. So recently, like my wife and kids went up and we like did like, yeah, we went on the train and then we walked to the prison. Like there's like a whole tour because it's right. It's a weird little valley. And there's like a little creek. It's beautiful. Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. But there's a lot of like negative history and hauntings that are what's it called there. And so then to go full circle, I in right after COVID, like I wasn't performing stand up because of COVID. Good and then I got a call.
By the way, good job. Because people were just like, eh, screw it. My career is more important. I'm going to kill, you know, 100 old
ladies. Yeah. Yes. So it is weird how a lot of comics are like anti-vax, which I'm boosted and everything.
Yeah. Or they're pro-vax, but like, I'm still gonna go do my stuff because I need this to feed my soul at any human cost. You know?
Yeah. I literally just flew to Florida to do a weekend of shows. I still wore a mask on the plane and in stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Sorry to get off topic, but. My husband and I were like, hey, come on. It's the height of COVID. Don't do a show, you know, but now we're good. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely book my shows around the weather now, which is odd. but to bring it full circle. So, yeah. So with COVID, I didn't do shows for like over a year, maybe. And then in the summer of 2021, last summer, I got a call from my booker and he's like, hey, Jim Florentine and Don Jameson of That Metal Show on HBO, they're doing a show at the Mock Chunk Theater and you're gonna open.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
And I was like, what? I was excited because Jim Florentine is a comic that my parents took me to see when I was in high school or college. And I was like, I want to be a comedian one day. And I bought his CD and he wrote, Mike, go to open mics. So like, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I'll get to open for him. And my parents, because they still live in that area, like they came out, it was awesome. But I was like nervous. Cause I'm like, oh my God, like this place is haunted. And like, I was just very nervous. And then the green room for this place was right behind the stage, behind the curtain. It was like this really cool historical. And I was like, oh my God, that's where the little kid lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, I make jokes and stuff, but I, like I said, I'm afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. I don't like that type of stuff. I like the idea of watching a horror movie, but then it ruins my night. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, same.
It's like, I hate roller coasters, but I love the instant gratification of getting over the fear of right. it. It's like a small obstacle. Hey, I beat this thing. But I hate them. So, you know, I'm meeting a comedy legend that I'm opening for that, you know, told me to do open mics 15 years earlier, but I can't even focus. And like, people are like, oh, you want to have a drink? I'm like, no, like I need my senses. And then, Yeah, I remember there was a different manager there than the guy that I remember from 2007. And everyone I talked to, like the host, because I was featuring. So the host and the, yeah, like Jim, the headliner, and even the booker. I was like, just so you guys know, like this place is haunted. If you see a little kid like backstage, like don't chase him because he'll probably kill you. Like I'm just letting everyone... I don't mess around, man. The best part was then the manager, like, and it also, the show was at 8 o'clock. So like afterwards it's like dark. And, because it's kind of like my hometown, like we were hanging out afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like out front, this is like hours later, they did like a meet and greet. We're all just hanging out, having like cigars and like just, you know, shooting the shit as comics do. And then like even the manager was there late and then joking around because I was like, I want to see if this is real. Like even if this manager has seen anything. So I go, we're standing out front and I go, the one thing about the show that was weird though is I go, did someone let their kid backstage?
Nice.
And the, yeah, like just trying to play it cool. Like, oh, did someone?
Yeah.
I was like, someone kept pulling on the curtain. Like it was, you know, when I first started my act, it was a little off-putting. And the dude again was like, oh, like you could see he was like frantically like, no, not that I know of. And I was like, dude, I'm messing with you. I know about the little kid. And he was like, oh, my God. He was like, I hear that all the time. And people have experienced like a little kid or like the curtain moving,
mm-hmm.
Which isn't like on paper. It's not that haunting. But when you're there in that moment, it's like it is scary.
Oh, terrifying. Because that thing is, you know, what, 20 feet away from you. And it's like a presence enough to, you know, it's a dead person that can move a curtain. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's hard enough. That was my first theater I ever performed at.
Oh my God.
And the stress of like, this is my first theater. It's near my hometown. So like a lot of people I know were there. My parents were there. Opening up for a comic that, you know, I idolized growing up. And he told me to get into open mics. And like, but then there's also a ghost behind me. Like that's what's How weird was- about comedy.
You never know where you're going to perform
next. You never know what's coming.
So with all of these stressors and a ghost on top, how was your set?
I had an incredible set. I was joking. I came out because I was like, dude, I'm from this area. Like, what happened in this area? You guys were like Irish fighting. Like, I was like, there's a Harry Potter coffee shop. Like, what the heck?
They probably love that.
Yeah, like, so it was a good time, and I did a couple theater shows after that until then the next wave of COVID came, yeah. You know, but it, yeah, it was crazy, because now that I think about it, that's the second, there's a place where I live in New Jersey now, I live in Nutley, New Jersey, and there's a town, or a bar called the Old Canal Inn.
Oh, I love it.
And so here's the thing, like, there's, if now that I'm saying it, like, try to be mindful the next time you're out at like a local gas station. They always have like books in the corner. It sounds weird, but like you'll see like the history of Nutley, New Jersey, or mm-hmm. ghost stories from Nutley, New Jersey. So when we moved to this town like 12 years ago, I bought one of the books. I was like, oh, this is cool. And in it was a story about the Old Canal Inn, where back in the day, a guy went in there and was having drinks and then died on the chair.
Oof.
So then years later, people were like, oh, you shouldn't sit in that chair. Like, that's where someone dies. And someone from out of town came in and was like, you guys are stupid. It's a ghost story. Sat in the chair, was drinking, stayed at the hotel because it was an inn. That night, died. Same chair years later.
Oh boy.
So now it's still an open place. It's an open bar establishment, but now they have a skeleton sitting in the chair and no one can sit in the chair.
Oh my gosh, that's so smart, because that is terrifying. And
yeah.
I am now, I'm going back to my mind when I was doing a tour and we went through Iowa and there were these chairs of regulars that had passed and we were like, can we sit in these? And I can't remember if we sat in them or not. But now I'm like, oh no, they didn't die at the bar, but I'm like, are they haunting me? That's
amazing. But they, so it's a bar, it's like a small dive bar. Like they have shuffleboard and the beer, the whole thing. But recently they just revamped, they have a performance space. So I've performed there like 3 times since I've lived here. And like the crowds are great, but the whole time in my head, I'm like, yeah, there might be ghosts and there's a chair you cannot sit in. The old Canal Inn in Nutley, New Jersey.
But you're kind of becoming an expert on performing with the supernatural. This is the truest Comedians with Ghost Stories episode. Like, you've really combined all of it, and I love it so much.
Yeah. People are dying to get on stage. Oh. Hey, people, it's like, it's like, I kill the crowd, but
Oh my gosh, I love the story so much. Can I ask you, this is a little off topic, but unless you have more to this story.
Little ghost story that I don't know if, what's up?
Oh, well, we can talk about this after, but somebody that works in TV and movies the way that you do, this isn't something I normally ask people, but I just want your spooky recommendations for some movies or TV shows that you love, because I feel like you're the person to ask.
All right. So I'm one of the worst people in entertainment because like I'm a stand-up comic, but I've never seen Seinfeld or The Simpsons. It's like big
38. Thing. I feel like you should have grown up with that.
I know. So my parents, my dad is a Hispanic mechanic from Queens, and my mom's an Italian hairdresser from Brooklyn. So like we grew up, like we watched In Living Color and stuff, and
wasn't on
like Seinfeld. They're like, what is this? Like, what? Like, afford an apartment in Manhattan? Like, what are you, rich? It's just odd. Like, I talk to people, I've never seen Star Wars. I went to college for TV and film. I've never seen Star Wars. I know I'm the weird one. Like, I'm not, you know. And then I figured, you know, when I have kids, like I can experience it with them and we'll all see it for the first time. Now there's like 800 movies and shows. I'm like, we missed it. Whatever. if I would have to recommend something, the hard part is like I was a teenager in the late 90s. So like I'm a sucker for like, you know, Scream.
Ah, I love
Scream. And like I Know What You Did Last Summer. All those like there's like. The bad boy, the sexy girl that gets killed. Like it's all those tropes. So,
I think dress in Cabin in the Woods, right?
In the Woods is, I was just on a podcast where we talk about horror, or you could talk about like a horror movie or a comedy. And I was like, we got to talk about Cabin in the Woods. Cause it's like both. And, Cabin in the Woods, I love, I'm a huge fan of, zombies, like fast, slow, any type of zombie. What's weird is also, you know, as a comic, you kind of have an edge about you where you're like, well, I don't like this. Like mm-hmm. You take a stance on something. As I get older, when it comes to zombies, it could be anything. Like I saw like zombie sharks. I'm like, that's fun. Whereas like, you know, the older I get, the less of a gatekeeper I am with certain things. Mm-hmm. But I would say, I really like John Carpenter. Like he did Halloween and The Thing, but he's also done John Carpenter's Vampires, which is like one of the worst movies ever. And then they made a sequel with Bon Jovi. But it's like when it comes to horror movies, it's cool. The one thing I would recommend is look at your local theaters, because around Halloween sometimes they'll bring back classics.
Nice.
So like I saw the original black and white 1968 Night of the Living Dead in theaters last year.
That's so cool.
And it was insane. Like there was like no one there, and it was genuinely terrifying again, because even though I've seen it tons of times, I think I'm trying to think of if I had to recommend one horror movie, I would say I think a good one is just Halloween, but everyone's seen that, you know, there's like, It's not as violent as you think. There's no blood.
No blood.
Yeah.
No, it's or, great.
Yeah, go to Lifetime. There's a lot of horror movies that are fun. It's like, I'm a soccer mom and I just moved to this new town and I'm looking for love. But my daughter's not making the team, so I'm going to start killing people. yeah. I also like now there's like elevated horror, they call it, like Midsommar or Hereditary. And those are fun and all, but sometimes, you know, you just want to see those jump scare tropes.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Something that I've been watching before bed, because my husband has to go to bed much earlier than me, is Life After Death, because it's not scary. It's just about a guy who's a medium and he's doing his little medium thing. So I'm like, that's nice. He reconnected with dad. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go to bed. It's kind of the middle ground area. But yeah, no, I just, you just have such a perfect background for this. So I had to ask.
Yeah, I would say my biggest recommendation is a director called Ty West, and it's spelled T-I and then West. And he's getting a lot of traction now because his movies are starting to take off, but he's a modern director that is obsessed with like classic horror. So like he has a movie, like a lot of his movies look like they take place in the 70s, or he'll write it where it takes place in the 70s. And
oh yes, X. I just looked him up. We just watched.
Yeah,
about a porn being shot in a haunted house, that was very fun.
Yeah. And he has some, he actually first, one of his big breaks was doing Cabin Fever 2. And I saw the director's cut when it came out. I was like, this is amazing. But then he had such a big falling out with the studio that he was like, I don't want my name attached to it unless you're showing director's cut. And then a couple of weeks ago, I watched the regular cut and it really is horrible.
Oh,
which is insane.
So he was right.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ty West.
That was good. Yeah. Cool.
He has a lot of great movies with like a classic but modern feel. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for the recommendations.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay,
and Mike Flanagan is phenomenal too.
I'm watching his new one. So Mike Flanagan every year has a series on Netflix, a television series. This year it's called The Midnight Club, and I'm having fun watching that. What are the other? I can't remember the names of them.
Midnight Mass. Midnight he did Mass. Bly Manor, Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
He has all his movies are on Netflix, and they're phenomenal. Like he did Ouija. He also did Hush. And they're, if you like all the characters from his Flanagan universe, they're in all his movies.
Yeah, I really like that he uses the same actors and the same kind of weirdness over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one woman is his wife. And she's in a bunch of stuff. And she's in a movie that he did called Hush, which is about this woman who lives remotely in the woods. And she's a writer and she's deaf. And there's a murder. Yeah. But here's what's wild. So the book she's writing is called Midnight Mass.
Ah, woo! Perfect. Oh,
so it's like little Easter eggs. Yeah, that's his wife.
Wow. We really liked that movie. My husband and I really liked that movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. That's awesome.
And then if you have time, I have one quick last story, and I'll make it quick because I'm Italian and I talk too much. So there. My friend lives in Simsbury, Connecticut. He was one of my college roommates. Through COVID, they bought a house. And so I go up to visit. They just had a baby. Like, it's his first child. And he's very close with my kids. You know, they call him Uncle Mark. So we're very close. So I go up there and I go to sleep. And I'm like, I can't fall asleep. Like, it's weird. Like I'm tossing, I'm turning, like maybe I'm half asleep, maybe I'm not. And then all of a sudden, like I jump up and like, it's weird. It's like something flickered where the room went red. And whoa. I saw like an old timey nurse.
Whoa.
And I was like, I think I'm tired. Cause I don't, you know, it was, I don't get to see my friend often. So when we get together, like we'll sit by a fire pit till like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So like your brain, I'm like, this is where I don't know. I'm like trying to justify it. So I'm like, I'm trying to sleep. I'm sleep deprived. Like I don't drink. So like, it's not like I was drunk or seeing things, but it definitely like I saw it flicked red, but I'm like, did I not see it? Like you start to second guess it. And this room, anywhere I sleep, I check the closets and under the bed.
I love that.
Even in my own house every night, I check the closets and the bed. So I'm sleeping at a friend's house for the first time. I obviously do it. So it flicked red. It was like, boom, boom. Like, oh my God. It was almost like deja vu. Like it happened so fast that it was jarring. So then I'm like, shit, now I can't sleep. So he has 2 extra bedrooms. So I go in the other room and I finally just fall asleep due to exhaustion when like the sun's coming out. I'm like, all right. So then I wake up and I was like, dude, I had this weirdest thing. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, what? And then he said his mom came to visit like recently and had a similar experience, but she heard like people talking and she heard like that, the heart monitor, like the boop, boop.
Oh shit. Boop. And you saw a nurse.
And I was like, wait, I was like, no fucking way. Oh, sorry. I was like, no way. I was like, dude, I don't like this. So then he goes, we bought the house from a guy that had a hospice nurse here.
Oh, whoa.
And to this day, I will never go in that room again. And I just went there a couple weeks ago and he was like, you know, we're always up till like 4. Like we do the fire pit, we hang out. And then he's like, all right, yeah, just take any bedroom. And I'm like, dude, I'm never sleeping in this room again. Like I'm never going in that room.
So did you take a different bedroom?
I always will sleep in that one bedroom. And then what's funny is like, cause we're all so close. Like if my, sometimes I'll go alone, but sometimes if my wife and kids are with me, like I'll always screw the kids. They can go in the haunted room. I'm going to go.
It's the haunted room. I love that. That is so funny.
Well, I never told them. I mean,
did they report anything when they did it, when they slept?
No, because at first, you know, like we're really close, we're more like brothers, and like at first I thought he was just joking with me, but then so I'm close with his mom, and yeah, like it's interesting. Yeah, she heard like voices and like some sort of like dialysis type machine.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love it.
And then to find out that it was this old, so he bought it from the dad passed away. He was like in his 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. And the kids sold it. It was the house they grew up in. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, at the end of his life, he had a hospice nurse come to the house. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst.
Yeah, that's the room. That's the room. There's some energy in there. Oh my God. Yeah. Amazing.
I'll never go in that room ever.
Oh, I see why you're such a scaredy cat. You're a little magnet for this stuff.
Well, this all happened, you know, the theater thing happened in 2007. This happened within the past year. But like even before then, like I saw the movie Scream, and then me and my mom took our dog out for a walk at night, and I brought like a baseball bat. Like I don't know. I love Halloween, but it's terrifying.
Oh my gosh. I am yeah. My mother-in-law just got me a pendulum, and I just need to like take a bath, clear the energy, and then I'm going to try it. I got to try it by Halloween. I'm so scared. Okay. So I'm going to let you go. But one, tell me what your kids are going to be for Halloween. And then 2, plug anything you want. Tell everyone where they can find you all over the internet and get you to feature for More Famous Comics or headline.
Okay. So you forgot to ask what I'm being for Halloween.
Are you dressing up?
Oh my God, I dress up every year. My wife makes fun of me because it's like a gala event. I'll wear like 2 different costumes. I do costume changes.
You do costume changes. Oh,
like yeah, so one year I was like a chef and then Michael Jackson. I've been Rambo. Last year I went as a Ghostbuster. This year I think I'm going as Lonnie, who is Patrice O'Neill from The Office. I'm going as a warehouse worker from The Office. My My youngest son is going as a velociraptor. And then my oldest son, who's like me, he's going to have two costumes. He's going as a punk rock drummer because he wants to be a drummer when he's older.
Awesome.
And him and all his friends are dressing up as like classic slasher movie villains. And he's dressing up as Michael Myers, even though he has never seen it. And as parents, we said, you cannot carry around a knife.
Fair. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, the mask will do it all.
Yeah. But we're a big Halloween family. My son and I, we watched all of Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know, it's in their genes and hopefully they never get haunted. And then as far as myself goes, my name is Mike Salona, like Barcelona. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. You can go to MikeSalonaComedy.com for all my stuff. I have an album that is not, you can see the special on Amazon. It's called Calzone Farm. It's also on iTunes, Spotify, and stuff like that. I think there's material in there. It came out in 2018, but there's material in there about zombies and horror movies, which is fun. And then another thing I want to promote is I have a prank phone call album that I did over COVID called The Do Not Call List.
So smart.
And that is on all streaming platforms. And then, yeah, come out to a live show. It's always fun. And just support live local comedy.
Oh, my gosh. This has been amazing. And congratulations on everything. This was an awesome episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing it.
It definitely, I have like goosebumps and I feel like a little like nervous. Like I have a nervous jitter right now because I just brought back all this haunting. And I'm like, oh, man, now it's in my head.
I know. Me too. It's moving and I'm alone and I love it.
It's a weird love hate. Yeah. It feels nice right now, but at night I'm going to be like, why did Emily? Oh my God. Why did I do this?
Why did I do this podcast at noon? Yeah. Like, why did I even decide to do it at all? Anyway, thank you.
No, so much. This is awesome.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you want to find me, talk to me, tell me your ghost story, be on the podcast, reach out at Emily MC Winter, that's Emily McWinter on Instagram or Twitter. Buy my book, One Day Smarter, rate and review. You got homework, people. Have a great week. Okay, goodbye.